are listening to BA Chats. Thank you very much. We're so glad to have you. I'm Rachel Kuntz.
And I'm Kevin Kuntz. And we come to you to tell you about the good news of Jesus and what's happening in our world and other people's world. And so we do BA Chats because the word testimony means to do it again, God. And we love to talk about the testimony in people's lives. And so today we've got some wonderful guests with us that we are super excited about.
We really are. We love these people. They are close friends, good friends. We'd love to be even closer.
For
the
real.
Parkmans.
They're running mates.
I know. Joseph and Courtney Parkman.
Yeah.
Good. Golly, you people are great. How's it going?
Good. That was the best welcome.
Yeah.
You just feel welcomed, Courtney. We love you guys.
Thanks.
We talk about you more often than we tell you that we talk about you, but we admire you from afar.
We think you guys are
wonderful. We're so happy to share you with anybody listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
So you remember Yosemite Sam when he always would say, "There's gold in them there hills."
Oh my gosh.
You heard that, didn't you? So every time I see you guys, that's what I think about, because there's so much gold in you, and you know, you get to hear it intermittently, but now we get to share your gold with the world. And so we're super excited to have you join us.
I will never forget that reference.
You will. Good.
Okay, so we want to know a little bit about you, but first tell us what it is that you guys, that Joseph, you're doing at Bethel Atlanta, and then Bethel Atlanta School of Supernatural Ministry, and then Courtney, just what you're doing in general.
Okay. Yeah, so I am overseeing the outreach department or local missions for the school and the church, just oversee seeing our city be loved on from our church. Getting our church peers out into the world and sharing Jesus.
So many exciting stories. Can you share them with us here in a little bit?
Yeah.
We think it about, because, man, the testimonies that are coming out of outreach, they're fun. They're hilarious and wonderful. They're like, for real? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I didn't know Joseph was not a truth teller. I would wonder if that was true. they're amazing.
Yeah.
So think of your favorite one and share it with us in a little bit. Courtney, what are you doing, sister?
I run a small digital marketing agency that I started a little over 2 years ago now.
Wow.
It's been maybe 26 months since I absolutely started. So things have been going well with that, and that's been an exciting journey.
Well, your husband's been bragging on you. He tells us that you have serious revelation and breakthrough technology for people in business.
I love it.
He does, man.
He's
like your evangelist.
He's like selling me everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He is proud.
He is.
Man, we rode back from the beach together, and he bragged on you about half the time.
Oh, I love that.
I know. He thinks you're the bomb. Okay, so Joseph, share some of the testimonies that are coming just out of Atlanta.
Actually, 2 weeks ago, there was a group that went to East Point. Now, this one... I love this testimony because it really messed with some of my theology. And so this fella in outreach goes up to this car, and they roll down their window, and they're like, "Hey, you want to buy some gold chains?" And they had a bunch of gold chains. Him and his girlfriend, I guess, had a bunch of gold chains they wanted to sell to this person, to one of the people in outreach. And they're like, "Nah, I don't want a gold chain, but can I pray for you?" And they're like, "Sure." And they lay their hands on him and start praying for him. And they just start busting out speaking in tongues.
What?
The person that's being prayed for.
The person that's getting prayed for just breaks out in tongues.
No.
Kind of freaks out and drives off.
Were they praying for the baptism?
No. No one
Jehovah
knows if they
sneaky.
Were saved or anything. And
wait,
I was like.
Wait, can you guys hear that? That's the sound of pages of the Bible flipping all over our area. Wait, what? Where is this?
The only thing I came up with, his spirit falls on all flesh. And I was like, well, it totally confused them and scared them. And they just drove off because they didn't know what had happened. And the guy that would pray for him is kind of like, "Wow, that's never happened to me before. I don't even know what just happened." So that was just recently. That was 2 weeks ago. In a new area of the town where there just needs to be more love. I just have a heart for, we actually live in East Point, and I have a heart for our community, and that's where that one happened.
Wow. Yay, you guys. That is bringing Jesus to where you live, literally. Awesome. Okay, Courtney, give us some of your, what's your favorite revelation? What is this groundbreaking thing that your husband's been telling us about? Talk business, girl.
Oh, that's a, let me think. My favorite subject is going to be money.
Okay.
I just love it. I love talking about money with like church people. I love like a good awkward moment. Let's just like, just go all in.
Miracles and money. You guys are hitting it.
Money.
M&M's.
Okay. So just a few days ago, I was at a wedding. I was chatting with some people at a table and we were talking about just some of the walls people hit with money, you know, and just feeling like I can only make this much. Or even feeling scandalous for making a certain amount of money, you know? And I was saying, oh yeah, I'd like to make, I was like, it'd be really good to make like $100,000 a month. And they were like, what? And I was thinking, that would be great. And they're like, oh no, that's so extravagant. That's just too much. And I just kind of thought, oh no. You know, and when you're kind of, and this was a good friend we talked about, when you have kind of a more poverty mindset, you kind of think about the 24 inches around you. Like, I have to survive. I have to eat. I want my kids to have clothes. So you're thinking about that. But I think when you start thinking a little bit bigger, dreaming a little bit bigger, you can start thinking beyond that 24 inches and think about legacy, generations, impact. You know, all of a sudden, $100,000 a month is not scandalous. If you're thinking about your great, 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 great grandchildren, providing for those people and making a massive impact in the community. Like we're in Atlanta, so there's this charity called Hosea Feeds the Hungry. I think his name is Hosea Williams. Is that who it is?
I don't know.
Huge
philanthropist, started a business back then, but he's just made such an impact in Atlanta and his family has been remembered for generations. Oh. And I think when you're in that 24 inches, and you're thinking, well, I only need $21 an hour to live, and that's all I need, Jesus. But I think God wants to go beyond that 24 inches into impact, legacy, and just a generational blessing.
Do you have something that you do to help people break out of their 24 inches?
I think it requires some intentional thought. I think that's where it would start, you know, thinking like, okay, when some people, you know, I did like a little exercise with them. I said, okay, I'm going to say some numbers and tell me at what point you get uncomfortable. And one of the ladies got uncomfortable at the number 17. And I said, have you ever made over $17 an hour? Well, no. So if you start thinking like, you know, start believing that's for you, start intentionally thinking that, I like listen to stuff, I say it, I write it down, I have a vision board. And I think it would have been scandalous for me a year ago to make as much as I do right now. And a year ago, I got to a certain amount of money, and I just started sabotaging like crazy. And I didn't know why I was doing it.
Like self-sabotaging?
Yeah, self-sabotaging. Okay. All of a sudden, I'm like, I need a break from my business. I want to kick all these clients out. Just sabotaging. But I realized I'm just uncomfortable with a certain amount of money. Like, I hit my own cap. And so you won't even see opportunities in your peripheral when you have these limitations on you. So I think intentionally thinking about it, writing it down, like pushing yourself, stretching yourself, just in your own mind is a way to start.
What did you do? Is that what you did when you hit your cap? And how did you realize that you were self-sabotaging and that those weren't legitimate things? And because after that comes, I'm so tired, I'd rather spend time with family. Here we go with all these things that sound so legitimate.
Oh my gosh, you just said, I need to spend more time with family is one of our main ones as church people, even though that's a good, noble thing.
That's why we say it, because it is noble.
There are 24 hours in a day. There are 24, and you've got enough time. So, you know what I do? I have a vision board, and I put all of this ridiculous stuff that I would need a lot of money to have on this vision board, and I write things down. I think I also realized that, like I was saying, you have that 24 inches around you. You have to be a big thinker to get outside that 24 inches. So I think, okay, like, what's the bigger vision for my life? What's the vision I have for my community? And if you start thinking like that, all of a sudden, if you have a vision for your city, $100,000 a month isn't audacious.
Mm-mm.
It's not. When you have a vision for a city, if you only have a vision for yourself in a one-bedroom apartment, it's going to seem a little greedy.
Sure, sure. So that's what you did. That's how you got yourself out of it. You just started realizing these things. Was this just the Holy Spirit walking you through this?
Yeah, awesome. I think the Holy Spirit was walking me through. I think you hear those little things in the back of your mind, like, you know, when you're just playing yourself. And you hear like a little something in your mind, like, is this really a problem? Are they really the problem? Just little things. I'm like, you know, no, they're not really the problem. I'm the problem.
Right.
Courtney, no, most people don't know what you're talking about. What is this?
Like, what is this?
I mean, to hear, is this really the problem? And to be able to identify that I think it's me.
Yeah. It's almost always you or me. It's always. I think I talk to people who are at like a particular job and they're like, I hate this job. This job is horrible. And I'm thinking, well, you could just leave. You can just get another job. There are so many ways to create income in 2017, whether you're renting your house out, you're taking people on rides with Uber, you're cutting lawns, you're starting something. There's just so many ways to do it. And I think when you're battling with poverty, you're thinking like, no, this is the only way.
Right.
All of a sudden, someone else controls your income. If you can break out.
So poverty says this is the only way.
And poverty also says I don't have any control.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So someone always has control of your income, and you will look for someone else to have control of your income every time.
Wow. So with your clients, this is kind of your conversation with them. I mean, who are you talking to this about?
Myself.
And
my
friends,
my circle of
influence.
Yeah.
And justice. And now everyone who's listening to this podcast. Yeah. Okay, we need to come back to this, and I want you to just keep talking on it. Remember that scripture where the disciples didn't know it was Jesus, but Jesus talked and their hearts burned? I'm having that experience.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Maybe didn't you used to talk to me, Courtney.
Didn't our hearts burn within us as we were walking down the road? Oh, it was him. That's what we're having. That's the moment we're having right now.
Okay, really, let's come back to this. And then I do want to know about... How did you meet Jesus? But let's go to Joseph.
Yeah.
Joseph, how did you meet Jesus? Because you right. Right.
So,
actually met Jesus.
This is quite a colorful past. So when I was 12, so in 1992, I had someone that took me to a church, an Assembly of God youth camp for a week up in the mountains of North Carolina. And the only thing I remember the preacher talking about was evolution. And dinosaurs.
Oh my gosh.
And then asked if anybody wants to be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit.
Some good takeaways.
I'm sure there was some transitional stuff in there, but I thought it was super cool that there were dinosaurs in the Bible. And you know, like, that's all I remember. And I remember going up and getting prayed for. And for 3 days, I was out at the altar speaking in tongues. And that was
at
my
12.
At 12. That was my first encounter with Jesus.
Wow.
And. Fast forward, I feel like that's the moment that Jesus got me. Now, I took a different turn and went towards drugs and sex and rock and roll and all that good stuff until 2008. So I had turned from God until 2008, and I was homeless living in a baseball field, in a high school baseball field. Completely out of my mind, tired of getting eaten by mosquitoes. Like, I mean, I'm at my end.
We could call this rock bottom.
This is below rock bottom. This is Sheol. Okay. This is like,
oh my gosh.
This
what is
like
beneath that big old rock.
The depths of Sheol is where I am. I mean, I am literally just a walking bug bite.
Bless the Lord.
And I have a backpack full of clothes. Like, I have a pair of shorts, a pair of shirt on, and I have a pair of shorts and pair of shirts in my backpack. And I cried out to God and said, Lord, or God, why have you let all this happen to me? And he ignored the question and appeared to me and says, I love you and have plans for you. And then he was gone. And I went to rehab shortly after that.
Wait, let's camp out for a second on appeared to you. What is that?
So like, we're sitting here talking like me
that,
and Jesus.
Like, normal every day. You know, he just kind of walked through the wall and hung out with me for a minute.
Yeah, in the moment, like, it was like, it didn't feel like anything other than like, we're sitting here. I was just at my bottom, and he appeared to me, not in the typical Jesus, you know, on the picture, like the one I've always remembered. You know, he was just a guy. Huh. And I don't know too many guys that can appear and then disappear.
Right.
When he said, I love you, it hit something inside of me that caused me to come back to my senses.
Wow.
because I was literally out of my mind. I was like the guy in the graveyard. Like, yeah. I was demonized. I was completely at my bottom. And as soon as he says, "I love you and have plans for you," I just snapped out of whatever it was that I was under.
That is and powerful, Joseph.
He led me to a rehab. He led me to this place, and I went there.
That is powerful.
It's amazing. It's super fun.
I love so much about it, but I love that literally he said that he loves you and your mind returned to you and you got free at that point.
Right. Wow. And he ignored my question of why have you let all this happen to me? Like, right. he didn't even, he just went straight to the heart. He went straight to the matter.
Well, and you know, we could spend a second on that too, but you know, sometimes we don't get answers to our questions because it's not the right question.
Right. Definitely wasn't the right question.
Well, I mean, not just this, but it's a good thing just to know about all of us. If we're not hearing something, you know, maybe we should ask a different question.
True. You know? I'm sure he doesn't bring mosquitoes upon people. Right. Those little demons.
Oh, so you go to rehab.
I go to rehab.
And this is in 2008.
Yep.
And then after rehab.
I go to BASSM. So I go to Bethel mm-hmm. Atlanta School of Supernatural Ministry in 2009.
How did you get to the school? Just real quick.
So while I was in rehab, I reached out because I was having these really radical encounters with God in a Baptist-style rehab. So the grid of what to do in a situation where God is literally showing up with someone was not really sure. In their grid.
Right, right, right.
And so I reached out to the biggest names I knew, Benny Hinn. I mean, I wrote actual letters to these people, like handwritten letters to these people. And I wrote one to Benny Hinn, one to Leif Hetland, and to some other people, maybe Kenneth Hagin Jr. It's people I've heard about
that maybe you thought might be
right. That make it help me with all this. You know,
sure.
I had been reading Kenneth Hagin Sr.'s little bitty pamphlet books while in rehab, and just like, well, he knows the something, Lord like sure. I know him. Like,
right.
Like maybe his son can help me. And the only person that wrote back, which was Leif Hetland, and he really? Sent back 5 CDs. And a letter of, he told me about Bethel. And he sent me Healing the Orphan Spirit, The Baptism of Love, one about missions, and then 2 other ones I don't remember. The Baptism of Love was the one that I had another encounter with that in rehab with my roommate right beside me that got completely... He got saved in that moment. Like it's a
from your encounter.
From my this glory cloud came into the room. It came through the window and laid on top of me while I'm listening to this CD of Baptism of Love, and this guy beside, because literally our beds were 3 foot apart. So we lived in these little bitty dorms that were like one room with 2 guys, and I go, "Wes, the glory of God has filled the room," and he rolls over and sees this cloud on top of me and just starts repenting everything he's ever done his whole life and apologizing because he's told me that it wasn't real what was happening to me. And for 3 full days, that dude could not say, only thing he could say is, "God is real." Like, he's really real, y'all. Like, I just saw him last night. He is so real. But it was listening to that CD, that Baptism of Love, and he hit really deep down into my heart of I'm a son. I am actually his son. And this was before School of Ministry. Like, this is just a guy that is literally seen a million Muslims saved.
Oh my God.
Send me some information in rehab, and I get totally radically just loved on. Like, and it was that's how I got here.
So many people locally do not know about Leif Hetland. 20 seconds. Tell us about Leif.
So Leif is amazing. He's a Norwegian guy. And he was a Baptist pastor in Norway. Had a radical encounter with God. Randy Clark prayed for him. And now they've seen over a million souls of Muslims saved all over the world. So amazing.
His ministry is a global mission awareness. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I would totally say check him out. And literally, he is going to the places on the planet that are the most dangerous places and seeing amazing miracles. He came to school not too long ago, and he's been in the killing fields in Cambodia bringing reconciliation. I'm not even going to try to relay the stories. They were unbelievable. I was weeping. I was and twitching. True. I was like, what? What is happening? Oh my gosh, I was believing for my finances, my 24 inches.
Good God, what am I doing with my life?
You know, I mean, it was that kind of like, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so Leif Hetland.
GlobalMissionAwareness.com.
Okay.
Yep.
He wrote back.
He wrote back. He wrote back and told me about Bethel. He told me about Reading. And then I looked online. I wasn't allowed to look online in rehab, but I secretly had a guy that worked there that was helping me apply to school. So I applied to a bunch of different schools because I felt like the Lord said, I want you to give your whole life to me. And to my church.
Wow.
And so I was like, well, the only way I know how to do that is the internet to get into a school. And I applied to some schools, and this guy was giving me the money for the applications and everything. And they were like $75 an application. Mm-hmm. And I went through four and they said no. And then I heard that there was a Bethel in Atlanta, and I was like, well, that's a lot shorter walk than Reading, California. Like, I live in Columbus, Georgia at that time, and Atlanta is about maybe an 8-hour walk, you know, and because I didn't have a car at that time. I just knew it was going to be me walking. Like, that's where I was at. And I sent an email to a guy named Scott Thompson, and I said, hey, I've spent a bunch of money on applications. Here's my past. Can I come to school? And he wrote back, well, my past is pretty colorful in itself, and sure, just send in an application. Like, your past isn't going to hurt you.
It was obvious you guys had something special. I mean, you're obviously close friends. I didn't realize that he was the contact. Wow.
Yeah. And that's how I got here. That's how I got at school.
Okay, so we're going to leave off at school, pick up with Courtney. When did you meet Jesus? Is your family born again? Were you growing up with Jesus? Or?
You know, I just grew up with Jesus. I don't think there was a point at which I had that you know, salvation experience. I think I just, from a small child, I remember just talking to Jesus like all the time. And we just like, I remember I would think that he was playing hide and seek with me just as a little kid.
He was.
Yeah. So I've just kind of grown up with Jesus.
Just loving the Lord. How did you get to Bethel?
Oh my gosh. So I was living in Hawaii at the time. Before I moved to Atlanta, I was living in Hawaii. And me and my best friend, then we used to listen to Bill Johnson and all of this. And I ended up moving here. My parents randomly went on vacation and bought a house in Atlanta, and they wanted me to like live in it. So I moved. So I was like, okay. So I moved here to go live in that house.
Single life is so wide open. A house, live in Atlanta. Yes.
Yeah. So I move. I come here. And so, like, the Holy Spirit was like, start volunteering. I'm like, okay. So I volunteered for all of these random things. And I volunteered for this human trafficking walk. A walk. And the day of the walk, I was like, I got up at 7. I'm like, God, well, what are we doing? What am I doing? Why am I doing this? So I go to the walk, and I'm just bringing a tent. That's my whole volunteer thing. But I have to stay for, like, 4 hours. So I get there, and I'm like, okay. I start walking around the track with this lady. And she's just talking to me, and it ended up being this lady named Debbie Cannon that goes to the church here. And I said, hey, what church do you go to? She's like, Bethel. And I know Bethel in Reading. And I was like, Bethel what? She's like, just Bethel. I was like, oh, okay. I know this other church called Bethel. And she's like, oh, Bill Johnson's Bethel? And she's like, yeah, yeah. She's like, oh, that's where I go. There's one here. I was like, stop it. Stop it.
Shut
up. And at the time, I was like a youth minister at this other church. But my church started really late. So I started driving here, coming in the morning. I stayed for like worship, part of the message. I would drive 45 minutes to my other church, go there. And like every Sunday until one day I was like, this is just my family. This is just where I should be.
Wow, Courtney.
Yeah.
When did you meet Joseph?
Chris Valentin came to town.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Is this around the same time? Or are you both at Bethel this time?
We're both at Bethel. Okay. I had been there for a while. He just never saw me for some reason. Missed my face.
He remembers when he saw you first, he told us all about it.
Oh my gosh. Yep, true. We're not even going to go. Let's not even ask him because we're going to be here tonight. So
It's an awesome story. The best story.
Well, it was hilarious. Yeah. We met at Chris Valentin conference basically, and he was kind of poking around me for a few months before he asked me out.
Yeah. When I asked you out and turned around and walked away. No phone number and nothing. I was so scared.
Yeah, sure. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Hey, you want to go out to lunch? Yeah, sure. Okay. I'll turn around and walk off.
Which was great because I actually was rearing up to give him a high five, which would have just put him right in the friend zone. So that would have...
It was the Lord that told me to turn around and walk off
it was a
and be scared.
Oh, you guys, that's fun. How long have you been married now?
5 years.
Five and a half years.
And I married way up. I married way up.
She's marvelous. Yeah. Tell us about your baby that we love.
We have a new, she's not a new three-year-old. She's just turned three, named Justice, you guys. Oh. If you're listening, I want you to imagine the cutest child you've ever seen. She's edible.
No one would argue she is edible. She is so cute. She never has a smile off her face.
Oh, she's always smiling.
I just can't get enough of her. But she's just a wonderful child.
And she got your dimples. I'm looking at your dimples right now. Look at, oh, it's where she got
the,
your dimples.
She got the dimples. Yep.
She got them.
Oh, our Quinn, who is 4 and a half, loves Justice.
What does he say?
When we ask her, son, what do you love about Justice so much? She's nice and she's pretty. He tells us all the time, she's nice and she's pretty.
She loves Quinn.
They're two little bees. All right. So, Joseph, you're at school.
I'm at school.
You're at school. Bethel Atlanta School of Supernatural Ministry, straight out of rehab.
Straight out of rehab.
How was school?
Straight out of Compton. Yeah, I mean,
that's... straight out of rehab.
It's like a rap song, right? This is like God's rap song.
Ministry school, straight out of rehab.
Straight out of rehab.
Straight out of the ballpark.
Just say
straight out. Yeah, he got hit a home run. Here I am.
That's good. I'm going to use it when I tell your testimony from here on out.
That could be the title of your book.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Oh, man.
And so how was school?
School was amazing. And the encounters, they just went to a whole nother level of intensity. And I don't know. They went to something deeper. Like when I was in rehab, like I took the word for what it was. Like I didn't have a grid of, if it said that he did this for somebody, I knew he would do it for me. And so I started out these encounters by reading encounters in the Bible and going, Lord, I want to experience that. Oh. If you're real to him like that, I want to know you real like that.
That explains you having encounters. That's just all it takes.
Right. Me. It's literally me just saying, all right, well, you do it for one, you'll always do it for another. Right. And he really honored it and sped up what I had lost for all those years. Like, he literally sped up his relationship with me within these encounters.
And that's super awesome.
I mean, just like when I was in school, I was just radical. I'm still radical for him. Like, I mean, I just want to know him more and more and know him deeper and deeper. And in 2000, in my first year of school of ministry, I ended up at Bill Johnson's conference in Webb, Alabama. And there's this lady that prayed for me that her hair stuck up from now on. Like, her hair sticks up because Randy Clark prayed for her in Brazil, and the electricity of God zapped her so bad that her hair sticks up permanently.
Like, you're saying, like, right now she's
Right now, like, she keeps her hair short because her hair sticks up like this because of the power of God.
Oh my.
Like, it's wild. Her name is Pam. She's a wild lady. And so she goes, I'm supposed to pray for you.
So if you see Pam.
And I'm like,
she came up to you?
Yeah. Okay. And she's like, I'm supposed to pray for you. And I knew she was supposed to pray for me in the middle of him talking. And when she laid hands on me for 10 hours, it blew my shoes off. So there's a picture of
physically?
Me. Yeah, like my shoes. When I flew back, my shoes stayed where I was. And I'm just out for 10 hours, and I go to heaven and have an encounter with Jesus where this messes me up. So I'm looking in his face, and I'm looking into his eyes, and his eyes are so pure and so full of fire. And I go into his eyes, and I'm in this lake of fire, and he's just purifying. He says, you'll never be the same. It's going to be years before I tell you anything about what happened. In this, like, he's communicating with me while he's taking me through this journey in his face. And it was scary, because for the next 3 months after the encounter, I would literally be just in the grocery store and just start shaking out of control. And I was like, am I going to be that guy for the rest of my life that's going to walk with a limp like this? Am I going to be like, like walking
it's
with a limp?
2017, Joseph, and you're still.
Yeah, I know, right?
Beautiful limp. We love it.
But it, like, he is just now starting to unravel what he did to me while I was in heaven then. So that was 7 years of me just asking questions and asking the Lord, and he's saying, wait a little bit later, wait a little bit longer. And it's basically, he just purified me in one moment. Like, he just took all the stuff, like when you purify gold, like all the stuff comes at the top. And it really messed with me, because I'd been to heaven for real, and I didn't want to be on earth anymore.
Sure.
Because I was like, that was the purest love I've ever felt in my life. Like, I was so wanted that love. And I spent a good 6 months battling this idea of, I just don't want to live anymore.
Sure.
And then Sean Bowles and Judy Franklin tell a story about their trips to heaven and how they went through this whole ordeal of not wanting to be around anymore. And then Sean talks about finding your bride. And so, you know, right now, Atlanta's my bride.
Sure. Heidi Baker, I've heard her say that, and Andrew Womack, all of them had just wild encounters, and at the end they were like, bye.
Check it out.
The Lord was like, no. I had a plan for that. So talk to us about... They talk to us about these encounters, but the listeners are probably like, I'm not sure I want to have one of those encounters. I want to stick around now. But so encounters, talk to us about that, just real quickly.
You know, for me, I've just always said yes to him. So while I was in the middle of that 10-hour encounter, I had read Good Morning Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn my first year. And I remember the Lord coming so strong into the, I remember reading about him saying, the Lord came so strong. He says, Lord, I don't want anymore. You can ease up. So in the middle of this encounter, I am telling the Lord, you're going to have to kill me. I'm not going to say no to you. And so he kept coming strong. And the closer his face got to me, the more intense, fiery love would just come near me. And I was like, I'm not saying no. Like, you're just going to have to take me home or whatever. Like, I'm not, you're going to have to kill me, because I'm not going to say no. And that's when I went into his eyes. And it was, I don't have a grid for all that. Like, I don't know what all that means yet, other than the purification. Like, his eyes can purify you. But like just saying yes. And so one thing that a key that I have learned is, if you've been to one spot of Holy Spirit or one spot of the kingdom of God, you always have the keys to go back to that at any moment.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's good.
Yeah, like, wow, yeah, all the time.
All the time. You can access joy. If you've felt the joy of the Lord, you can always access that at any moment, at any time. I mean, we have joy on purpose anyway. So, you know, if the thought of, well, aren't you making that up? We're always making up joy. You're always choosing joy.
That's great.
Like, yes. Choose it all the time.
Say
like,
this. Wait, talk about this just for a little bit, because there are just so many skeptics. God bless them. I mean, and bless us. I had somebody recently.
Bless me, Lord.
I had somebody recently, you know, say, but if I could see a miracle, I would believe in him. And I thought, you kidding me? You got to be trying not to see miracles today. Right. There are miracles literally happening every single place in the world.
Yeah, everywhere.
So
where are you hanging out?
I know, that's exactly what I'm like.
Who are you hanging out with?
I know, my goodness. But so talk to us about the choosing joy, and that.
Yeah, so like, these encounters have brought me into more of heaven. So I always have the key to that door. He gave me the keys to that door when he introduced me to that encounter. So whatever I got out of that encounter, whether it be like laughing or joy or peace, like, we can all, you know, peace is really easy for people to understand, because internally anxiousness causes you, when you don't want anxiousness in your brain, you partner with peace.
Peace is not as easy to snub as other things.
Right. Like,
you're so desperately, you're like, I gotta have some peace.
Right. And that's just a part of heaven that we've accessed. And just having the revelation and the, you know, that's like going to the throne of grace boldly. Like, you've been there before. You can go there at any time. It's just your choice. Do you want to open up that? Do you want to go there or not? In some level, sometimes it's a lot stronger than others, but you can always go back to those places if you want to, because he's always got an invitation to go back there.
This is a good word. Courtney, you're nodding your head. Yes, you know this too?
I know this too. In kids' church, we would call joy like a jar of salsa. That was just our illustration. Like, you always have this jar of, just open up and like smell a cilantro. You always have this jar of salsa with you. And the kids have always remembered, okay, I've got my salsa. Like, it's with me all the time. I can just open it up.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite encounter that you'd like to share?
Oh, man. Do I have a favorite encounter?
I know. It's hard to, because you guys are encounter people.
We are encounter people.
You're fun to be in church with, both of you. Like, I try to sit by you.
fun and gosh, I have so many. Some of you are coming to mind. I'm like, what do I want to share? how do we want to take this? Oh gosh. My favorite encounter. Okay.
You got one coming up?
Yeah, I'm just going to put it out there.
Go for it, girl. You just go for it.
You know, I'll share this. I was on the phone with one of my best friends in Hawaii, and this is before we got married. We used to just talk all the time. We were just like such good friends, and I was like, you know, let's just have an encounter tonight. We just kind of decided, like, we're just going to have an encounter with God. And so we're on the phone, and she's in Hawaii, so there's a huge time difference. And it's the middle of the night, and I was like, all right, let's just have an encounter. And then just the Holy Spirit just shows up. And I was like, hey, what are you seeing? And we realized that we're seeing the same vision of heaven at the same time. And I'm saying, like, I see this flower. And she said, is it purple and yellow and other colors? I'm like, yes, I'm seeing the same thing. I'm like, she's like, are you smelling this? It's just such an amazing time with a friend. And now I'm realizing that was just like the first time it happened. And now I'm realizing, like, oh, we can have these moments at any time. Wow. Like, that's just like available to us as a community, as a body, as a family, to share these encounters with each other.
So wonderful.
Me and Joshua Colley did that before. He lives in California, and we both went after this thing. We went to heaven together, and in 3 hours apart time zones, and we ended up in the same spot in heaven when we just dialogued about where we were at in heaven and what we were doing, and you know, it was fun.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so for our conservative friends, what has this produced?
Oh my God, freedom. Yeah. So much freedom. Wow. In moments when I think when you're especially me, I struggle with anxiety sometimes. I just get so overwhelmed and just worked up and I'm crashing and burning. I just go through phases. And in moments like that, when you have these encounters and you're like having this intense peace, and you realize, like, okay, all this stuff around me is not the real thing. The real thing is this, in heaven, this treasure in heaven. Mm-hmm. Like, this is real. I'm not just a citizen here. I'm like a citizen of heaven. I'm seated with Christ, you know?
Where you're storing up your treasures. Is in heaven.
Yes. Right. And I think we just need, sometimes we just need that. It's almost like that's really the grounding.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's the anchor. Knowing that, okay, all the things that are happening and the PTA and all the things that are happening are not what this is about, you know?
Yeah. I'm always thinking they're super temporary and they're subject to change. I mean,
oh my gosh, it's so temporary.
We could have good change in 10 seconds. You can get a phone call and everything be changed, good or bad. But heaven's not that way.
It's not. And having these encounters, I think what I've learned through is that I can access the presence at any moment. Like you said, once you have an encounter, you can go back at any time. And so we've all experienced this when you think about a time where the Lord just touched you and you begin to cry all over again. That's just the way that you're accessing that moment all over again. It's always available.
And that's what you're saying, just accessing the moment, accessing the memory. And this would just be in, again, for folks that are just not used to the culture at all.
Right.
But just so you're accessing a memory. And we all know that. You can hear a song that you know was your favorite song in high school and it takes you back. We have all these sayings.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. But heaven that is all around us at all times and is eternal past and eternal forward is here. Because I always think, you know, if Jesus' prayers get answered, and do y'all think Jesus' prayers get answered?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Well, he prayed 2,030-something years ago that heaven comes to earth.
Yeah.
So it came to earth when he prayed it, or when he rose from the dead. I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
And so we're stopping to notice what Jesus prayed to earth.
Yeah.
And then we're ambassadors from that, Courtney, you were saying, ambassadors from that beautiful heaven to earth. And anyway,
I mean, one of the things, the fruits out of my encounters has been seeing people like Jesus does, like really seeing people through the eyes of Jesus. Like you have to really aggravate me for me to be aggravated. Like you have to literally, you'd have to pick on me a whole bunch for me to just be, because I usually just be like, what? Okay.
We're prankers at our house. Oh yeah. FYI. So.
But like just see, like when I see
can,
the,
I
when
can
I
beat
see
him at that point,
when I see a woman on the street that's maybe selling her body, I don't see her like that. I see her as a child of God. And you can't see someone like a child of God unless you've gone through an encounter and being able to notice that they are a child of God.
So what you're saying is encounter changes your perspective and perception.
Correct. Mindset.
Your mindset of what
everything.
You're really experiencing.
Right.
So encounters change you.
Absolutely.
Encounters change me. Encounters change us.
Bring you healing. Mm. I had a miscarriage years ago. Had a miscarriage, and I remember just, you know, I don't know where I was at. I just was a foggy time. And I remember just seeing like this vision of this little baby in heaven just being taken care of. Mm. And it just healed my heart.
Wow.
To see that. That's and like, beautiful. Okay, this baby is in loving life. She's being taken care of. She's with Jesus. You know, it's just one of those, that was healing. An encounter. Like I needed that. My heart needed that.
Right. Yeah. That's beautiful. Oh,
that's
okay.
Super great.
Okay. Okay, Courtney, we promised to come back to you.
We're back.
And we're back.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before we scoot, really, everything that you hear on here, testimony means do it again. So if Jesus has done it for one, he'll do it for all of us. Encounters are a part of just being alive. Like God would love to encounter or he is encountering us all the time, but we can stop and notice.
Yeah.
Joseph said earlier, give him our yes. And then we get to experience what he's experiencing.
Yeah. His stuff's way better.
I know. He's good all the time. Yeah. But he'd like for us to enter into his being good, you know. So, okay. So encounter. So keep talking about money. I want to hear. I was loving what you were saying.
Let me say this. So we moved back. We moved to Chicago for a while and then moved back to Atlanta.
Okay.
So right before we moved to Chicago, we went through a pretty tough time. We just had a lot of stuff going on, and both of our mental health just declined.
Sure.
First, I had mental breakdowns in the hospital. Joseph, you know, right after I recovered, Joseph kind of started having a breakdown. He couldn't work for a while. So we were having like a massively hard time. And just after that experience, I remember just, you know, walking at night, and I was listening to this lady, this woman named Lisa Nichols, and she was talking about making your life unrecognizable. And I was like, God, that's what I need. I'm like, we're struggling. I need to not recognize any of this.
Right, right.
And
this
so
this needs to be foreign language.
I need some different stuff. So I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna make my life unrecognizable. I feel like that was the Lord's word for my life at that time. So we kind of made a quick transition back to Atlanta after that. And I remember we drove back to Atlanta, and that same night I was like, okay, I'm gonna start a business. I'm gonna start, and I started my business the night we got back here.
What?
Whoa!
Yeah, I pulled my laptop out, made a quick website, and I was like, "All right, I'm open for business."
You are so fun, but I love this. When you knew you wanted change, boy, that's change.
It's
start
change.
A business.
It's so change, and you know, at that when we left Chicago, we were just broke, and our marriage was, you know, on the fringes of the fringiest fringe
it was
you can get to.
I was a rough person.
We were rough. Our marriage on the fringes. We didn't have jobs lined up. We just had to start from scratch, and we knew it, you know, and to be where we are now where, you know, we have a lot of freedom. We work from home. Our marriage is fantastic.
Guys.
Totally restored. Yeah, I mean, I was looking at life insurance policies. I was like, well, is this bad? I didn't even get one because I'm like, well, if something happens to you, that's where I was at. So we are in such a good relationship. We are so close now. And I just, it's shocking to me. Like, this is a miracle. This is a sign. This is a wonder that we could be best friends.
Yeah.
I never thought it could happen. I was like, well, we might be tolerable in 5 years.
Sure.
Yeah.
And this has been in 26 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I started this business. We're living super comfy. We both kind of work part-time at this point.
Yeah.
I'm able to employ other people, handful of people, and we're just having a happy life. We moved back. Our friends were so great to repair a basement apartment for us, and we were just, you know, we're like just getting by with that basement apartment. Now we just moved into an upgrade, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So it's just our life is just completely different. I mean, unrecognizable from 2 years. And what we were talking about on the way here, it's like there wasn't someone, no one put this in our lap. No one, you know, it wasn't like a new job offer. There was no path.
You just made it.
You just do. It's like every day you make those choices. And when you're choosing to get outside your 24 inches, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to set some goals that are embarrassing. that I would be uncomfortable sharing.
Wow.
And, you know, and now I'm not uncomfortable sharing. It just takes a while. And you're asking, you know, well, how do you get there? What do you do?
Yeah.
I think you just put it in front of your face all the time.
Great.
Write your vision and make it plain. But your vision, I would challenge you not to make it comfy. I mean, let it be embarrassing to you right now. Awesome. If it's not embarrassing to you, then it's probably, you could stretch a little further. Stretch a little further.
Whoa. You guys. Whoa, the Parkmans.
Yeah, that's a lot of change in a very short amount of time.
It was a ton of change.
I mean, really.
A lot of change.
It was a whole lot of change.
And my desire when we moved back was, hey, I want to stay home and be with my child and my wife. Like, that was a dream of mine.
Well,
and I was not doing that.
Yeah. It's obvious that he does because he comes to parties and places with tiaras on.
It's great.
And tutus literally around his leg. No, that's serious. No, I'm serious. That's not a joke.
True.
It's awesome.
Dad of the year stuff right there. Yeah. Joseph and Courtney Parkman, you guys, thanks. Oh my goodness.
Thank you. This is fun.
Thank you. Yeah.
You guys are the best.
You can call us Kosif. That's our couple name. That's our Hollywood.
Hollywood blended name,
yeah,
Kosif.
Kosif.
We're Kosif for sure.
Yeah, it's going to stick. Now that's we're going to have your hashtag. Hashtag Kosif.
Yeah, you guys, I know as, you know, we're sitting here talking, people are listening, and, you know, this might have ministered to, you know, to some people, and you might want to write in or tell us a testimony that's happening, what the testimonies that you're actually hearing on the show like this, what it's doing in your heart and how it's changing you and how it's bringing hope and giving you a testimony as well. So we'd love to hear from you guys.
Joseph, Courtney, Kosif.
No problem. This is fun.
This was fun.
Well, we love you guys. Thank you for
coming.
Love
you.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here. And we'll catch you next time on BA Chats.
We love you.
And Jesus loves you too.
The email to send your testimonies to is bachats@bethelatlanta.com.